Hey everybody, Stephen here from Truth About Dyslexia. I nearly forgot what I was doing, where I am, how I live my life. It's kind of how our brains work, right? Somewhere off in the distance. Bring them back. Okay, so today's episode, I want to respond to a question a listener sent me. She's from New Zealand. We'll call her KJ. She'll know who that is. Now, the question is, I'm in my late 30s. I've just found your podcast. I'm starting to listen and go, this is interesting. I'm really connecting with all this stuff. It's all making sense. But how do I know what other people think like if I've always thought a certain way myself? So I'm going to actually try and bring it up so I can actually read it. But it's, you know, I hear more, you know, the more I hear life makes sense, but how do we know that how I think is different to the neurotypical people? Like, how do we know we are neurodiverse? I just assumed everyone thinks like me. This is a great question. I thought I'd go into it on the podcast rather than just send an email because I got a little bit through writing and I'm like, I'd rather speak this. So let's go for it. Let's dive into today's pod. Okay, so this is a really good question, and we get this from time to time. Many of us who listen to this podcast are either a bit older, or we've been diagnosed later in life, or maybe we were diagnosed when we were young and then realized later in life what it really meant. You know, this is what this podcast is about. It's about for people to listen to and go, hey, that sounds like me. This is interesting. I'm learning a lot about myself, all this stuff. Now, how do I pull it together? And KJ's question was brilliant in the fact that how do I know what other people think? I remember interviewing, and again, this is how my brain works. I can picture this guy's face. He'd written a cartoon book for dyslexic kids, and it was awesome. Loved the interview. Spent an hour. It was really good fun. It's back somewhere in the podcast. The thing about it, though, was one of the clicking questions to him was that he, again, couldn't fathom what other people thought like. And I was the same when I first found out. I really thought, how can people not think like me? We all must operate in a relatively similar way. Maybe we have different ways of dealing with it. Some of us hide from it. Others kind of run in full steam ahead. But we all think the same way, right? And I always remember him having this conversation around the dolphin test. Now, the dolphin test is when you say to someone, I want you to, you know, when I say the word dolphin to you, what goes through your head? Now, if you are neurodiverse usually, or you're more visual orientated, you can picture a dolphin. You know, your dolphin can be quite intense, right? It can be swimming through the water. It can be, you know, you've probably composited this ocean from a bunch of things you've seen or something you've seen in the past. You know, you can see the dolphin coming out of the water. Or maybe your dolphin's in the water. Is your dolphin animated? Is your dolphin real? You know, it doesn't really matter. The point is that you've created a very clear picture or visual experience in your head. Now, if you and you were young, you went to Disneyland and swam with the dolphins, it may even bring back a real clear emotional feeling that comes back from that. Even if you never did it, maybe you still have it. Maybe in your head you can go and swim with the dolphins and, you know, you've never done it before, but it feels amazing. Can you imagine that? How great would it be to like swim with dolphins, eh? And you can build this emotional visual connection in your brain really easily. It just happens. You more you work at it, the more intense it can get. And there's, you know, I love teaching about that because it's pretty powerful when you really get it going. But the core concept is not everyone thinks like that. And I always remember this guy I was interviewing. A few days later, he messaged me, and I can't remember if it was his mum, his dad, his brother, someone. He said, did the dolphin test with them, and they said, I just see the word dolphin. You know, there's nothing, no emotion, no visual connection, it was just dolphin. You know, and so he's like, what? You can't see this dolphin swimming through the da-da-da-da? No, I can't. You know, and so, you know, he couldn't visualize or see it in that way. It just didn't work for him. It was very black or white. And it kind of gave him that momentary experience that, hey, not everyone thinks the same way. And it's so easy to get stuck in our kind of mindset of, you know, I've seen the world through my eyes for so long, everyone must think like this. In my personal opinion, it's also what makes us entrepreneurs or criminals. Now, you may be going, okay, where are we going with this? Is that we get very much into ourselves. We think everyone sees the world like us. We struggle to see things from other people's perspectives. It takes us a lot more work, training, understanding. Don't get me wrong, we can do it. But our natural way is to think like we think. Now, for an entrepreneur, if we found something, a product or a service that's going to change the world, that's going to help us, and we go full steam ahead with it from our own perspective, we actually don't even see the naysayers. We're the ones pitching it on and trying to get investment or whatever it is, trying to go full steam ahead with it. And, you know, if we really care about it, we'll stick with it long enough. A lot of things we won't, but if we do, you know, there's a lot of energy, right, that goes behind these ideas and with the right things that come in, it works. But this is because we think everyone should see it from our perspective. And many of us are very good orators. We're very good at talking about the images and stories in our heads that we see and saying them out loud. Okay, so I won't make this podcast too long. Some of my audio just cut out there. Oh, the fun of podcasting, but I want to keep that other core energetic piece in. What I really want to get clear here is it's all about learning through experience. That's how we learn. As you learn more about your dyslexic mind, how we experience the world is through experience. I was chatting with somebody the other day and they said they were an auditory learner. And I said, great. I said, what happens when you hear something? And they said, I picture it. And I'm like, oh, okay, interesting. Audio in, pictures in the brain. You know, all these old facets of how we learn are a bit outdated, but majority of us, when we really think about it, we're doers. We like to get our hands dirty. We like to experience things, as that's what sticks in us. Because when you experience something, you get an emotional connection to a visual kinesthetic, you know, thing. And that works for us. It's the way we kind of store information in this weird cluster. Nothing's in a line. There's no encyclopedia here kind of experience. So experiencing is what you want to do. So to experience this, you need to get out there and talk to some people that are neurotypical. Now, it's sadly, no one's badged yet. And hopefully that doesn't happen. But usually these are people that you would say are opposites. They're people that you'd meet at a company get together, have a conversation with, or a group outing, and they're not the people that you would naturally be drawn to. What I find is neurotypical, unless this was done early on in the years, neurotypical and neurodiverse, there is a little bit of a barrier, right? We don't always communicate the same way. If I communicate energetically, visually, you know, whatever the word you want to use for it, with pictures and stories, you know, neurotypicals are much more to the point, matter of fact. They don't think outside the box. Like if I was you, I would start to listen to your intuition about people that you think they're a bit different to you, and then start to look at asking them the dolphin question. Say to them, hey, you know, I'm just doing a bit of research for some stuff I'm learning about myself and neurodiversity. If I ask you, what do you think of when I say dolphin, what comes to your mind? And then dig a bit deeper. Like if they say, oh, I see a dolphin. So, and you say, okay, do you see a normal dolphin or is it moving? What's happening? Or do you see the word dolphin? Or do you just see nothing when that's given to you? And what you'll start to get back is feedback about how other people see the world. And this is so vitally important to understand, because it's all good to know you are a certain way and you think a certain way, but if you can't even slightly fathom what the other side are thinking, it's a bit of a barrier, right? So dig deep, go and talk to some people. They won't think you're crazy about asking about dolphins. Feel free to change it from a dolphin to something else if you like. But yeah, dig a little around it. See what they think. You'll probably find a lot of close friends are neurodiverse. It seems to be a natural attractor. We like to hang around people that are like us. And, you know, the other thing I would say as well is in the world today, we live in a real microcosm of what we create. You know, we have a set group of people we like and are friends with. You know, we see the news we want to see. And we don't always realize that there are billions of people around us on this planet who could be completely different to us, right? Because we've created this world based around what we like, know, trust. So, you know, without getting too deep into the world's, you know, the world in general, just be aware what you see on a day-to-day basis isn't always the majority. You've created a majority and you're a minority, if that makes any sense. So get out there, experience this stuff, find out about how neurotypicals think, and it'll help you. Have an epic rest of your day, guys, and I'll be back soon.